We can continue this morning reading from Galatians 5, verses 13 to 26. This morning, I've taken the reading from the New Living Translation. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So are you not free to carry out your good intentions? But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to be the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other things like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let's pray. God, sometimes we find it difficult to hear the things we so desperately need to hear. Give us open ears to listen this morning and open hearts to receive. Allow us to focus on you. Let us feel the Spirit move among us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Since we began meeting in September with the youth group, we've been focusing on the fruits of the Spirit. Each week we've taken a new fruit to chat about, some with much deeper and more intense conversations as we relate them to our own lives, the community we are part of, and the bigger world around us. Each of us have been fashioned for a unique purpose. We've each been given unique gifts, each been blessed with varying abilities. During times of turmoil and transition, we can choose to become stagnant, or we can choose to be transformed by God's love. When we choose transformation, we choose to fully share in the vision of a community led by the Spirit, a community of love, gentleness, self-control, joy, patience, peace, faithfulness, kindness, and generosity. Christians who have been given the Holy Spirit have the opportunity to become walking billboards of God's existence and wisdom. When we demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, people watch and take notice. Whether they mock us for being naive when we patiently trust in God through trials, or commend us for our generous and loving attitudes, they do see. Whether they laugh at us for controlling our human impulses or stare in amazement as we find fulfilling peace amidst tragedy, they see. The fruit of the Spirit isn't about just sitting and waiting for the kingdom, but rather it's about training for living God's way of life now with every thought of action in our lives. Then the example of peace and comfort that comes along with those changed attitudes and standards will be a witness as to why the kingdom of God is so needed here on earth. If we call ourselves Christians, having Christ live in us as new creations, then we must be ever increasing our demonstration of the fruit of the Spirit. This not only affects others around us through our example, but it affects us as well. I want to tell you a story this morning about two guys, and Haley is going to be my illustrator and help me out with this morning. So, Hale, can you please draw me my two guys? She is actually very good at art. This morning we're just sticking to stick people. Okay, at the top of the first guy, can you write proud guy, please? And on top of the other guy, we're going to write humble guy. Now, both of these guys look pretty much the same. They both have a head and a body and arms and legs. We're going to draw eyes on them. They both have similar eyes, but how they use them is different from each other. See, proud guy uses his eyes to look at himself, to see how studly he is, how awesome he is, how amazing his character is in the world. Humble guy has eyes too. They look just like proud guy's eyes, but they're used to see things a little differently. Humble guy uses his eyes to look out into the world around him, seeing needs that need to be met, seeing the good in others. So now, because we were already really good at participating, especially during the Tater family, we're going to focus a little bit more on including you in worship this morning. So if we look at proud guy, he focuses on himself. Say it with me. Who does he focus on? And if we look at the humble guy, he focuses on others. Who does he focus on?
Others.
Good. Next, we have the mouth. Both, of course, need to have a mouth. Proud guy uses his to tell others about all the things he's doing, about all the ways he's so great. He's quick to talk about himself. Humble guy uses his to talk about how great God is, about all of the good that is within the world. He talks to others about good and godly things. So what do we have here? Proud guy talks about? And humble guy focuses on? Good. Then there are the ears. Each of our guy has two ears. Proud guy uses his ears to hear how wonderful he is. He waits for people to speak to his pride, to tell him how incredible his character is. Humble guy uses his ears to listen to others, to listen to what isn't said out loud, to hear needs of those around him. Proud guy uses his ears to build up who? Himself. And humble guy uses his ears to help. Now, hands. They're a little bit difficult to draw. Sorry, Hale. But here we have proud guy's hands looking like they're made into fists. He's ready for a fight, ready to push back, ready to face whatever comes at him, defending himself. Humble guy opens his hands up to help others, to lend a hand, to pick someone up, to shelter someone, to hug someone. Proud guy's hands are used to help. And humble guy. And now the feet. I'm sure we all know a little person, or maybe not so little, who stomps their feet to get their way. Proud guy uses his feet for that. To stomp around in a heavy way and make it known that things need to go his way. His expectation is that others will follow him because his ways are best. Humble guy tends to use his feet to go out and reach others, to walk to places that need his help, to use them to balance himself as he walks a difficult path. And once again, proud guy uses his feet to better, and humble guy uses his feet to help. Proud guy lives for himself, showing off and one-upping. His pride stands in the way. We all have pieces of each of these guys in us, but we need to know that God gives good things to those who are humble. He is patient with us as we learn to live a life filled with the fruits. When we are filled with the fruits of the Spirit, we live for God and love Him more as we love and serve others. This morning, a few of our youth have been open enough and willing to share about a fruit of the Spirit that challenges them, that resonates with them, that has special meaning to them. So I'm going to ask that they come and share now.
I'm Amy. I'm going to be talking about love. Love, an intense feeling of deep affection. It is a feeling so much more than just a word we toss around. So often we use the word love loosely, like, I love pizza, or I love Spider-Man. And although Spider-Man is one of my favorite superheroes, I wouldn't say I would sacrifice something for him. It's not the deep affection we all long for. I often struggle with loving others in my life when they don't show their love for me. Some people pull their focus from me in conversations and interactions. Sometimes people even show favor to others instead of me or treat me differently than everyone around me. It makes it extremely difficult to show love to the people who have pushed me away, and even more difficult for me to want to love them. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Jesus gave us the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his love for every single person in existence, past, present, and future. Jesus showed true, deep, affectionate love for everyone.
Hello, I am Sierra Sands. Joy. Most people think that it's just extreme happiness, but it's much deeper than that. True joy is knowing something that you don't find is something that you don't find in everyday activities and people. Joy is knowing that God has a place for you and you being at peace with it. It's when you can go through the worst times with a smile on your face. Although I have had many instances where I found seeing joy in my life to be hard. One of these instances is when my sisters start to anger me. Those of you with siblings can agree with me that sometimes they drive you up the wall. In these moments, I find it very hard to see joy. But I can look to my family and friends to find joy and happiness in our life. Together, we can find hilarity in things that make me laugh, mad and convince me to laugh. Find your joy.
Hi, I'm Alex Kronowich, and I did mine on peace. Peace can mean different things to different people. It can mean that the world is free of violence, or having nothing in your life that disturbs you. But in the fruit of the Spirit is having trust in God and that everything is in God's hands. When thinking about having faith in God and that God has a plan, I question myself, why is there then war? Why are there crimes? And how can this be a part of God's plan? But learning about fruit of the Spirit is that God doesn't control that. When putting our faith into God, the fruit of the Spirit becomes an attribute of ours. With peace, it's becoming more peaceful and having faith in God's plan. It is not arguing with someone or saying something rude. We spread peace because we have faith in God and that God has a plan for us. I remember having a discussion with a friend that came up, and she doesn't believe in God, and therefore, in her mind, God isn't real. She kept on saying, if God is real, then why is there war or disease or people stealing from one another? And before I even learned fruit of the spirits, I instantly responded with, you're misunderstanding what God is to me and to other people. God is someone that has complete that doesn't have complete control over the planet and can stop wars with a flick of a switch. God is the missing piece in yourself. With God, you'll be stronger. You'll be able to spread peace to prevent things like war or crime. In the book of Romans 12:17, there is a verse that I think we can all kind of follow. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. The way I see this is just because someone is rude to you doesn't mean that that gives you the right to be rude back. This I see a lot happening in my life. People in my school, people in my friend group can generally not be nice to others, whether it's to their face or behind their backs. I can even struggle with this sometimes myself, but with God, I'm able to take a deep breath and realize that, you know, saying something rude isn't always the best thing, and remember fruit of the spirits and never say something negative or do something negative.
I'm Abby Kierstead, and I'm going to be talking about patience. Patience, the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. It's also one of the fruits of the Spirit that I find I struggle with the most. There are multiple situations where I'm able to remain patient, for example, when I'm waiting in line for something, but there are also many when I'm not able to remain patient. It might be because I get excited easily, causing me not to wait, but I get frustrated easily when things do not go to plan right away. As small as walking through the hallways at school causes me to become impatient. I know where I want to be going, and if someone or something gets in my way, then I get frustrated I can't get where I want to go at the pace I want. I know I'm not the only one who experiences this, and sometimes just putting on a smile can help somebody else relax and give them the slightest bit more patience. It's important to trust that God will guide you, because he has his own plan for you, and he works on his own schedule. So trust in God to give you patience when you feel like you're lacking it the most.
Hi, my name is Kaylin McPhee, and out of the fruits of the Spirit, I have chosen to speak about a very important virtue, which is kindness. The technical definition of kindness is to be friendly, generous, and considerate. Though what it means to me is how kindness relates to the golden rule. Matthew 7:12 reads, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." Following this can be difficult at times when encountering people who lack the teachings of kindness, do not prioritize acting kind towards others. I personally struggle with this, as many others also find this challenging. At these times, it is important to remember to treat others the way you would like to be treated. This fruit of the Spirit is easy to share with others because I would like to see the impacts of more acts of kindness in my life. I aspire to lead a life spreading kindness and positivity and hope it will create some sort of ripple effect to make our community a kinder place, as our small acts of kindness can make a large difference.
My name is Haley Belanger, and I will be talking to you about self-control. This is one of the hardest fruits of the Spirit. You can discipline your physical and emotional desires by being modest and respectful of others. With this, you can be in charge of your emotional and desires and instead of the other way around. A lot of people struggle with self-control, and they often get frustrated. They can't control their emotions or behaviors in difficult situations. I struggle with self-control. I haven't yet met anyone who has perfect self-control. People can never keep their cool. They could lose their control because they had a bad day, because they see something or someone that makes them frustrated, because someone knows that something annoys you and annoys you more, because autocorrect is being rude, or because of something as simple as being too excited. When we need help, we can look to Jesus and remember how he could have easily fallen into the world of negativity and sin, but instead he kept his composure. We can't allow us to listen to the world. We need to allow ourselves to listen to the word of the Lord. Sometimes we have the Holy Spirit on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. We often listen to the devil, and this is where we lack restraint. If we listen to the Holy Spirit, we can show mercy and have self-control.
We all need to stay connected to God and open to the Holy Spirit, and sometimes that's incredibly difficult. Let's imagine the Holy Spirit as a roaring campfire. What happens when we stop putting in the fuel and the sticks and instead throw dirt or water on it? It goes out. It no longer produces the light or heat for which it was started. In the same way, if we neglect our relationship with God and become focused on the things of the world and on ourselves, we will extinguish the presence of God's Spirit in our lives and no longer produce the fruit of the Spirit. We all have the opportunity to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives and live and breathe in such a way that we are filled with the fruit of the Spirit. We are filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. We need to live in such a way that our actions and lifestyle and character are contagious. Others will look at us filled with the Spirit and want to live like we do. It's not easy. We need to focus on stopping and thinking about our words before they come from our mouths. We need to speak with gentleness before attacking others with our attitudes, our thoughts, our words. We need to consider how our gloating makes us look to others, how it pushes people away. We need to focus on taking the path that may not always be easy, but will help us be better people in the long run. We need to take a moment, breathe deeply, and swallow attitudes of impatience. Like Haley said earlier, we all have those little friends on our shoulders. You know the ones, the good and the evil. The good helping us to do what God calls us to do and to be who God wants us to be. And the evil enticing us to walk away from the good and godly ways and things in life. We all have it. We all struggle with it. We all need help living a life filled with fruit. How great would it be if we held each other accountable in a loving and gracious way to living a fruitful life in the kingdom of God? We are all part of God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is a place to be humble, to live with all of the fruits of the Spirit. And our example to follow in all of this is Jesus. Let us use him as our guide as he continues to call us higher and deeper into a fruit-filled life.